Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon, 309, Jordana and Paul, David at the helm. Thanks for joining us. You can hear our normal, upbeat, glad to be alive today. Music was not played today, even though we are. What is happening in Ukraine is tragic and scary and does not feel right. So we are, our thoughts and our prayers and our hearts are thinking about the people that are under siege from a dictator half a world away. We feel helpless today, but in our own way, Paul and I and David are going to try to learn as much as we can, advocate for the people of Ukraine as much as we can, and understand that conflict as much as we can. So we have a full day planned, Paul.
Yeah, we do. And we are bewildered spectators. We are watching just like you are, what's going on, trying to make sense of it all. But you know, we can't obviously ignore this story, and we're going to spend as much time as we can. The thing that strikes me, Jordana, this country, Ukraine, is a member of the United Nations. It's a sovereign nation. It's a democracy. And they want, the people of Ukraine want the same things we want.
That's right. Most
of them want to be in NATO, and the fact that they're not in NATO means that the United States and the rest of NATO is not coming to their aid right now. So I'm frustrated. I'm not in any way advocating for American troops on the ground in Ukraine, but throwing sanctions against the wall, hoping that Putin is going to suddenly back down, I think that's wishful thinking. He's maniacal. He has his eye on the prize, and it seems to be regime change. Getting a puppet regime into Kyiv that is subservient to Moscow. That seems to be his goal, according to analysts. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how many people have to die for that to happen.
We are going to speak in just a moment. David, I'm sorry. I'm not exactly sure what you're telling me. Talk in my ear if you need to reach me right now. We're going to speak with Professor Renee Buehr from St. Thomas. We're going to talk with her in just a moment about the history of Ukraine. And we'll also ask about the sanctions if the professor has any thoughts on that. But also, Paul, the big news here today, and you heard in the news, is, of course, the mask mandates in Minneapolis
yes.
and St. Paul have been
yeah.
lifted. I was in a restaurant just the other day in St. Louis Park, and I had forgotten my mask, which is shocking because usually I never do. And I walk in and I was talking to somebody. I said, "Oh my gosh, let me grab my mask. I'm so sorry." And the server there said, "No, you don't. They were wearing masks, but they said you don't need it." And I said, "Oh, interesting." And I took it out anyway and put it on. I just wanted to make everybody feel comfortable around me. And also, I'm being immunocompromised. I like wearing my mask. I feel safer in it. The servers in the restaurant were still wearing theirs, but this is a big step forward. You know, we talked with restaurateur David Fima a few weeks ago about this, and he said it was an unfair policy because some cities have it, some don't. Hopefully, this will level the playing field and bring back some normalcy for the businesses, the restaurants, and people that want to do business in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
In my understanding, Jor, it's still in effect in city buildings in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but elsewhere, no, it's okay. not required. So,
and that's what the restaurants were worried about. You know, they wanted
right.
to know that right across the border, In those restaurants, you didn't have to have it. So they wanted a level playing field. And now they've gotten it. And this is if Omicron and COVID are on the downwind, then this is what we want. This is good news for everybody. I think that nobody wanted to have to wear masks in public, but we were living through a pandemic. So we did it because we care. Well, most of us did it because we care about our fellow human. We didn't want other people to be sick. And that's all that was asked of us, for some extra care. And thank you all that wore your masks for doing that. We hoped it wasn't going to last forever, and it's not. I hope we are healthier and safer, and there will not be another upswing, because we are ready. For those of us that were truly bothered by them, they are ready to be done with the masks.
Yeah,
I'm still wearing mine, by the way.
Hey, you have the freedom to wear it. In Asia, right? they wear them much of the year, right? I mean, they've been wearing masks for a long time. There's no stigma in Asia wearing masks, just to protect from the regular seasonal flu and anything else out there. But, I thought we were maybe on the verge of some good news, and there is some good news out there, but there's nothing like a once-in-a-75-year war to make us forget about a once-in-a-century pandemic. It's like, God, when do we get a break here? I know I'm frustrated for folks in Europe, and there's a lot of concern. Our NATO allies, is Putin going to stop with Ukraine? Is he going to keep going? Are other countries at risk? I don't think troops would set foot in NATO allied nations, but you just never know. So
he's unhinged. I wouldn't put anything past him. He is unhinged. Well, he is a lunatic dictator who is mad with bloodlust and power. And I wouldn't put anything past him, especially this. I know Ukraine is not in NATO, but I mean, isn't this a line in the sand, a big middle finger to the rest of the world? So I wouldn't put anything
past
him.
Yeah.
But let's hear what Professor Renee Burr has to say, political science professor with St. Thomas College of Arts and Sciences. The professor is next.
Paul and Jordana and DJ and you. We appreciate you joining us today. We're trying to get up to speed and wrap our brains around what's happening in Ukraine. The first major war in Europe in 75 years, really since the onset of World War II. And they're calling it a Russian blitzkrieg, which may be an appropriate metaphor. It's the first time there's been a major war, an invasion in Europe, since Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany invaded Poland back in 1939, which went on to start World War II. So we have questions. Ukraine has been independent, a sovereign nation, for more than 30 years since the collapse of the Soviet Union. And it's held democratic elections. I think there have been 5 different presidents during Putin's reign in Russia. So heading off in a more westerly direction, they want to be free. They want to choose their leaders. How do we get to where we are today? Professor Renee Burr is a political science professor at the St. Thomas College of Arts and Sciences. And Professor Burr is joining us today. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Can you explain to me, can you explain to listeners, I understand Ukraine was a part of the Soviet Union, which basically dissolved since 1991, and they gave up nuclear weapons, 5,000 nuclear weapons, the third biggest arsenal in the world, in 1994, with guarantees from the U.S., the U.K., and Russia. Basically, they gave up their nukes in return for a promise that Russia wouldn't invade. And now it's being invaded. Can you just get us up to speed with where we are and what's the history, kind of the Cliff's Notes version of Ukraine and Russia?
Absolutely. So Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union, as you mentioned. It's what's called a Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. And when the Soviet Union fell apart, those socialist republics became independent states. So that is where Ukraine's independent story starts in the modern era. But obviously, Ukraine was not always under the sway of Russia, contrary to how Putin wants to present it. So since about 2004, Ukraine has been progressively asserting its independence In those early years between 1991 and 2004, fairly pro-Russian leadership were in charge, and they didn't make a lot of reforms. But in 2004, there was a well-contested election between a more pro-Western candidate named Yushchenko, who was going up against a pro-Russian candidate named Yanukovych. And Yushchenko was likely to win. And so there was, you may recall, Yushchenko was actually poisoned during the campaign and nearly died. But the election was rigged. They said that Yanukovych, the pro-Russian candidate, had won. And that started the Orange Revolution, which eventually led to new elections and the election of pro-Western Yushchenko. So since then, Russia has been trying to regain control.
Professor, let me just jump in here. You said the election was rigged. Was the election rigged by the Russians?
Yes.
Okay.
It was. There was definitely ballot stuffing in the Ukrainian election. So we had exit polling data that proved that Yushchenko had won by a small margin. And the official word that came out, which was from the Kuchma government, which was pro-Russian, claimed that Yanukovych had won. So it was by comparing that exit polling data to the actual supposed data that the pro-Russian government put forward. And so that is the first big uprising of the Ukrainian people in favor of their independence. So since then, Putin's been trying to sort of indirectly control Ukraine through increasingly invasive ways.
So let's talk about how Volodymyr Zelensky came to power and what type of how he changed things, and then what type of government they've had in more recent years.
So you start with Yushchenko in 2004, engaging more with the European Union. So that's a fairly contentious issue, but for Ukraine's economy and its society, it makes more sense for it to reach out both to the European Union and to Russia. So that tends to be the biggest difference between Ukrainian presidents, whether they're pulling a little bit more westward, whether they're pulling a little more eastward, whether they're viewed as more favorable towards the Ukrainian language or the Russian language. So that's the main grounds of contention for a Ukrainian president. So Zelensky came in a free and fair election and was really kind of an outsider candidate and more concerned with corruption than necessarily picking one of these sides. So he is a different kind of candidate than the ones that preceded him.
Professor, I'm curious, in the mind of Vladimir Putin, he perceives NATO as an offensive threat. And he called, apparently, Ukraine possibly joining NATO an existential threat for Russia. Mm-hmm. And he went on to say, look, the Ukraine has always been a part of Russia. Basically, they're sort of like the wayward son, and we're just going to reunite the wayward son with the family again. Do you care to delve into some of the psychology? And I'm trying to separate out legitimate history and facts from spin.
Yes. So definitely his speech, Putin's speech this past Monday, was a combination of facts, exaggerations, misinformation, and omissions. And so knowing that all four of those were in that mix is really important. The narrative that he told about Ukrainian identity actually is the same narrative that the Russian Tsarist regime used to try to subjugate the Ukrainian population as well as the Belarusian population, which they view in a very similar way. So that is a very Russian-focused, Russian-privileged kind of viewpoint of Ukrainian history. The deeper history, of course, is that Ukrainian culture, language, Belarusian culture and language, these things predate the Soviet Union. So none of what Putin said about that is accurate. These are old languages and old cultures that had their own identity, but they had been forcefully subjugated by the Russians. And whether that was by the Tsarist regime or by the Soviet regime, ultimately it was subjugation.
Professor, we're speaking with Professor Rene Buehr from St. Thomas College of Arts and Sciences. I know we only have a few minutes left, but share with us the relationship between Putin and Zelensky. And also, why is this happening now? Was there a trigger? Why did Putin decide? Again, why now?
That is an excellent question. So his rationale, his stated rationale, is that the Donbas region was destabilized and that Ukraine was had imminent plans to attack Donbas, this this breakaway region in the east. There's no evidence of that. It was a frozen conflict. So that rationale doesn't pan out. That's why Putin has had to put forward a lot of fake news, essentially, to try to legitimize his claims of Ukrainian genocide of the Donbas people. There's just no real evidence of that. So why it's happening now, only Vladimir Putin knows. So it could be that he's looking at the international system as it is right now and seeing it as a bit weaker than it was, say, in 2008 when he tried a similar move on Georgia. So he may feel like there are more opportunities right now to do so. Britain is sort of in disarray, right? France is trying to hold together the transatlantic alliance. You know, the U.S. has had a fairly rocky foreign policy for a while now. So he may just think that Zelensky is less experienced than his predecessor, Poroshenko, and he may think that the Western alliance is less capable. But we can only really, you know, speculate, since he may not even know exactly why he's doing it right now.
Hmm. Yep. Professor Buehr, last question, 30 seconds. Is Putin ultimately worried about democracy at his doorstep? Is it a legitimate concern about NATO encroaching and him perceiving NATO as an offensive force versus a defensive force? When people ask you what's really going on, why is he risking blood and treasure? And sadly, it's mm-hmm. going to be the blood of a lot of Ukrainians. Why is mm-hmm. this happening now? And you touched on a lot of that geopolitically. But what do you think is really going on? What is he so afraid of?
So he has wanted Belarus and Ukraine to be dependent upon Russia ever since he became president in 1999. It could be that his attempts to do so indirectly through tampering in Ukrainian politics and then participating in the Donbas region and annexing Crimea, maybe he feels like these piecemeal things are not accomplishing the kind of control he wants of Ukraine. That's the only somewhat rational explanation I can arrive at, but there's a fair amount of speculation that he may not be behaving rationally at all at this point, and that's a tough question to really answer.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for this knowledge. We so appreciate your expertise, Professor Rene Buehr, for political science, a professor with St. Thomas College of Arts and Sciences. We appreciate this, and we will call on you again, Professor.
Thank you,
great.
Professor.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a knowledge bomb. I mean,
yes.
She just dropped
yes.
on us.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to get up to speed.
And that's good background. Like, I think you have to know the history to understand what's going on. Of course, nobody can understand why this lunatic, Vladimir Putin, you know, is invading this peaceful country. We don't know his true motives. And again, she says he may not be acting rationally. Our president spoke about this, spoke about the sanctions, spoke about his plans to punish Vladimir Putin. Here's some of what the president had to say next. President Biden addressed the nation today as we all watched. We watched what was happening in Ukraine. And this is, Paul, this is a fascinating experience because we've heard about war. We've learned about war in history class. Most of us, I will say, have lived during peacetime. I know that there are people who have seen war, certainly in Vietnam, even in World War II, that might be listening. That is a thing. But most of us have not, thankfully, had the experience of war.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yet, we look on our TVs and on our phones today, and we see people that are hiding in bomb shelters, people that are fleeing. You know, there was a guy on CNN, and you heard in the news, an orphanage. He's worried about what's going to happen to the kids. I mean, these are people currently today that are suffering the effects of a real live war that is happening now. And it's tragic, and it's heartbreaking, and it does make you feel helpless. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to lead into share some of what the president said, because in a moment of war, in a time of war, it is the goal of the leader, even though we're not involved yet in this war, only by sanctions and diplomacy, to try to calm the nation's people and, of course, the world. So President Biden said today, this was not a surprise to us. We did see this coming.
Vladimir Putin has been planning this for months, as we've been saying all along. He moved more than 175,000 troops, military equipment and positions along the Ukrainian border. He moved blood supplies into position and built a field hospital, which tells you all you need to know about his intentions all along. He rejected every good faith effort the United States and our allies and partners made to address our mutual security concerns through dialogue, to avoid needless conflict and avert human suffering. For weeks, we have been warning that this would happen. And now it's unfolding largely as we predicted.
So the president went on to say that America is cutting off Russia's largest banks and largest companies from the Western financial markets, restricting exports of technology to Russia, freezing trillions of dollars in Russian assets, including funds controlled by Russian elites and their families. People have said, you know, maybe you get their attention when you seize their homes, their mansions in London, and their yachts. Maybe that's when Putin and the oligarchs begin to pay attention. By the way, their estimates, the CIA estimates that Putin is worth over $200 billion and probably not obtained legally, surprisingly.
Wow,
Gary Kasparov, you remember the chess player Gary Kasparov?
Sure.
He tweeted out something today that made me think. He said, Putin's Achilles heel is that he and his mafia keep their money, assets, and families in the free world they say they despise. This helps them spread corruption, but it also gives tremendous leverage if we're finally willing to use it. And today, President Biden did talk about additional sanctions effective immediately.
On Tuesday, we stopped the Russian government from raising money from U.S. or European investors. Now we're going to apply the same restrictions to Russia's largest state-owned enterprises, companies with assets that exceed $1.4 trillion. Some of the most powerful impacts our actions will come over time. As we squeeze Russia's access to finances and technology for strategic sectors of its economy and degrade its industrial capacity for years to come. Between our actions and those of our allies and partners, we estimate that we'll cut off more than half of Russia's high-tech imports. It will strike a blow to their ability to continue to modernize their military. It will degrade their aerospace industry, including their space program. It will hurt their ability to build ships, reducing their ability to compete economically. And it will be a major hit to Putin's long-term strategic ambitions. And we're preparing to do more. In addition to the economic penalties we're imposing, we're also taking steps to defend our NATO allies, particularly in the East. Tomorrow, NATO will convene a summit. We'll be there to bring together the leaders of 30 allied nations and close partners to affirm our solidarity and to map out the next steps we will take to further strengthen all aspects of our NATO alliance.
So, listening to the analysts who have taken all this in, their reaction seems to be, look, the sanctions are not going to stop Putin. They're not going to stop Russia from achieving their objective, whether, you know, decapitating the leadership of Ukraine, setting up a puppet regime, making sure that Ukraine comes back into Russia's orbit. That may still happen. But what the sanctions will do is exact a cost. There will be a long-term cost to Putin.
To whom, though? Really? Because you just said he has $200 billion. I don't think he cares. I don't think these sanctions are even going to touch him. It's clear he doesn't care about the Russian people. He certainly doesn't care about anybody else in the region. He only cares about himself. So he's already got awful rich. How are these sanctions going to even touch him?
Well, if they don't touch him personally, they may touch some of his oligarch friends. The other billionaires who've gotten exceedingly rich from petrochemicals, from oil and gas. And if enough of his oligarch friends are unhappy because their mansions and yachts have been seized and they can't access their money, if they really can freeze their assets, I don't know if they can do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If they can't touch their assets, that could create ill will among, you know, the ruling class in Russia. And depending on what happens here in the next few months, next few years, Putin could be out of a job. Who knows? Nobody knows. And that's the scary part. And wars rarely turn out exactly the way you think they're going to turn out. There's usually something that goes off the rails. And could it spread into other countries? Could it? You can imagine some of the scenarios. And so that's what a lot of people are worried about. But he did say he's sending more troops, more American troops, into NATO countries. One thing he said that caught my ear, Biden said, the United States will defend every inch of NATO territory with a full force of American power. And that includes former Soviet countries like Poland and Romania and Hungary. So I hope, I don't think Putin will advance beyond Ukraine. It seems like that's his only objective, but again, it wouldn't take much for things to spiral out of control. So I think it's good to be paranoid.
Well, I feel a little more bleak about this because Putin has been uncontrolled, seems uncontrollable, and also seems like, as our professor said, not thinking rationally. So when people are irrational and don't have much to lose, you already got $2 billion in the bank. If your billionaire friends are missing a couple, you can give them some. $200 billion in the bank. It just seems like he has nothing to lose. And whatever the true meaning of this invasion is, I guess it's just full power to reclaim more land, more territory, because God isn't making any more land. I don't have a lot of confidence that sanctions are going to help anybody out in this situation. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. When we get back, we'll lighten things up a little bit and share a sweet story about a local reporter who was visited by a special someone on the job. Next.
Some entertainment news this year. The Oscars are planning to pre-record some awards before the ceremony and air them during the live broadcast. Even more insulting, before the awards are presented, the announcer will say, and now the categories nobody cares about. You go, hey. If they really want to shorten the broadcast, maybe just skip the part where someone explains what an actor is.
Yeah.
Jeez, we need a laugh. We need to laugh a little bit, right? The world is heavy today, so we definitely need some smiles. Jerry gave us one with whatever product he was talking about during his traffic report, so we'll have to get some clarity on that. But then this other sweet story crossed the wires, and this is adorable. It's video of a local television reporter in Ohio. So he's standing outside. He's either going to do a live shot, you know, which is when he talks back to the news anchors live, or maybe he's recording a stand-up, which is his part of the story on camera. And then he was surprised by someone who drove by. So here's what that sounded like on camera.
Is it because of the... This is my mom. Hold on. I'm trying to work right now. You over there calling my phone. This is D'Angelo. You can say hi. And don't be holding up traffic because you got cars behind you. Did you record?
I love it.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, maybe because Mom. That's me, because I totally see me showing up. My kids would be like, hi, baby. How you doing? How's your day? Doing good. They would hate me.
And then give him a hug. Give him a hug on camera. That's they my boy.
The news is next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.